For WKU Public Radio, I'm Lisa Autry. 150 years ago today, Civil War soldiers were involved in fighting in the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia in bloody encounters that resulted in some leadership changes and helped to establish reputations of some key military figures. Dan Maudlin talks with WKU military historian Dr. Jack Thacker and Dr. Glenn LaFantasy of the WKU Institute for Civil War Studies.
Dr. LaFantasy, why was the Shenandoah Valley in particular considered to be strategically significant?
For a variety of reasons. One of them was that it ultimately would be a breadbasket for the Confederacy, and so those very lush farms in the valley needed protection from the Confederate point of view. But the valley was also an avenue, just as Interstate I-81 runs through the valley today. The valley back in the Civil War days was an avenue as well that threatened Washington and the defenses of Washington, D.C., making Lincoln extremely nervous about what in essence constituted the right flank of the defense of Washington. Any Confederate force that moved north in the Shenandoah Valley immediately became that kind of threat to the Washington defenses. So this campaign takes on great significance, but it's become one of the favorite campaigns, if you will, of Civil War buffs because it stars in the lead role Stonewall Jackson, Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson, who had earned his nickname at Bull Run, the first Battle of Bull Run, and now was in command of an army, a very small army, but nevertheless a significant army in the valley. And it became Jackson's job to tie up the Union forces in some way so that those federal soldiers could not be used to reinforce George McClellan as he began finally in the spring of 1862 his movement against Richmond, Virginia.
And Dr. Thacker, isn't it true that military intelligence played a very key role in this fighting in the Shenandoah Valley?
The Union at the time did not have a military intelligence operation, so what they did is outsourced it to the Pinkertons, which were basically railroad detectives. And the Pinkertons had a tendency to overestimate the strength of the Confederate forces consistently based on their methods of gaining information, much of it from newspaper accounts and word of mouth. Basically, as you can imagine, they were basically what you call detectives, not intelligence agents. And what had happened was that the Union had put forces into the valley. Basically, General Banks had a force of about 15,000 men. General John C. Fremont had a force of about 15,000 men. And there was no central command. They were both very jealous of their own position. And so what happens is when Jackson goes into the valley, enters the valley from again on May the 4th, he immediately moves against Fremont's forces, which are being put together basically not for the defense of the valley, but rather to invade East Tennessee and free the Knoxville area, which, something that was near and dear to Lincoln's heart. And what happened is Jackson strikes part of Fremont's forces at McDowell on May the 8th. And completely defeats them. He outnumbers them and completely defeats. He'd been reinforced by Huell's division, so it was. And he was moving extremely fast. They were on top of the Union force before they even knew he was there. He then shifts and moves against Banks's units, which are in the other part of the valley. He has an advantage. He has an incredible map developed by Jedediah Hotchkiss. This is about 8 feet long, and it shows every path. I mean, just not every road, almost every path in the entire valley. And what you have to understand is that you have a mountainous area in the middle of the valley, so you can go back up and down and be out of contact, not know where the others are because you're on either side of those mountains. And so what Jackson does is he crosses over and completely outmaneuvers Banks, who is basically a political general with very little military ability, and strikes his forces at Front Royal on the 23rd of May. He then whirls back and hits the another part of Banks's force before they can come together at a place called Winchester. And here he destroys them, routs them. It is such a defeat that what happens is Banks flees the valley. At that point, Lincoln panics. And this accomplishes essentially what Lee wanted when he sent Jackson in the valley. What happens is he detaches half of McDowell's force, which was at Fredericksburg, and was supposed to join McClellan. Now, McClellan, going back to the Pinkertons, McClellan thought he was outnumbered. The Pinkertons overestimated. And McClellan had 100,000 men. To get that 100,000 men, he had to mislead Lincoln about how many men he left in Washington. Lincoln now knows he doesn't have enough, so he takes half of McDowell's force.
And then, Dr. LaFantasy, isn't it true that by tying up Union forces in the Shenandoah Valley, the Confederate leaders were able to keep the Union from taking an overwhelming force against their capital in Richmond?
This kept Union soldiers away from reinforcing McClellan. The whole campaign is a testament to how good generals can work the terrain in their feature if they know the terrain. Jackson, of course, was from the Shenandoah Valley. He taught at Virginia Military Institute in Lexington, Virginia, which is in the Shenandoah Valley. He had, as Jack mentioned, this Hotchkiss map, incredibly detailed map of the valley. And Jackson used terrain consistently to his advantage in masking his movements and in surprising the Union forces. And that contributes to how brilliant this campaign really was.
And Dr. Thacker, you have said that the battle in the Shenandoah Valley helped to establish Stonewall Jackson's reputation as a hero among many people in the Confederacy.
It's one of the most brilliant campaigns in the Civil War in terms of movement. He ties up 60,000 Union soldiers with 17,000, defeats the Union in five separate battles. And in most of those battles, he outnumbers them basically because he's able to concentrate his men much more effectively than the Union is. And in the process, marches his men over 320 miles. They become known as Jackson's Foot Cavalry.
The fighting in the Shenandoah Valley ran May 4th through June 9th of 1862. This has been the latest in our series of reports on the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Dan Motley.